It can come after 24 hours, it's gone. But
well, that's only in the physical world, of gosh, right. But not in
exactly.
The speech.
Well, that's what it's trying to tell you, is exactly that. The thing that you thought you needed, you have to have it. The best, the most important, like that. 24 hours, nothing anywhere, it's straight for you. But when you're learning Torah and you're learning and it only gets sweeter.
It only gets better with the passage
of time. If it survives the first 24 hours, because that's right. When it gets slugged up. If you said good and it's not slugged up, then people are always adding to it and say, oh, I have another right to what you said, or I used it in another part.
Right. So, Rosa, with your permission, let's do a little bit of chazara on what we did yesterday. And we started, if you recall, on the bottom of Daf Ches Omed Aleph. And the Mishnah says, Hayu Shnayim Rochvin Al Gabi Behemo. Echad Rochev, Echad Manig, Zelmer Kulishli, Zelmer Kulishli. And we say Yachloku with a Shvuah. So the Gemara now is going to analyze, do we assume that both Rechiva and Hanhaga are valid Kinyonim? Because again, in the Mishnah it says, Echad Rochev v'Echad Manhig. So it would seem that each one is a valid Kinyan. Om Rav Yosef, Omali Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said to him the following, and here's where we're up to Ches Omed Beis. Shamet minei demar Shmuel tarti. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I heard from Shmuel two things. One is that Rochuv umanig chad kani v'chad lo kani. I don't remember, or maybe Shmuel himself didn't clarify which of the two is valid and as a kinyan, and which is not. Rochuv and manig lo yadana. Hai minai, which one is the one that Shmuel said is moil, is meaningful, is valid, and which one did he say is not moil? So the Gemara
curved hearing nothing.
So Gemara says, Heichi Domi, what was the case? What was Shmuel talking about when he said that Rochuv and Manig one is Kona, one isn't? Ilema Rochuv Luchudei Umanig Luchudei. If we assume that it means that Reuven sat on the saddle of a behemoth hefker, and Shimon was manhig a different behemoth hefker, and the question is, was Reuven kona with his rochuv, was Shimon kona with his manhig, and one of them is acceptable and valid, and the other is not? So the Gemara rejects that. Because manig l'chudei mi'ika man di omar lo kani. And Rashi explains that the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Kiddushin that there's a kinyan called Meshicha, which is operative in Behema. Behema nicknames b'Meshicha. And manig is another form of Meshicha. Meshicha means when you pull the animal towards you and the animal changes its location. So that if Shmuel said about one of the following two, either Rochuv or Manig, one is Kona, one is the other, then Rabbi Yehuda should not have any suffering about that. Certainly Manig would be a valid Kinyan. Ella, but rather we have to reinterpret the suffering of Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, right? Where we're just doing Chazar what we did yesterday. How are you? And we'll start in about 6 minutes. We'll finish the Chazor. Okay then? So we're saying the following, that if Shmuel said about one of these two, either Rochuv or Manig, that one is valid as a Kinyan and one is not, then if one of the two is not Kona, Rochuv hu deikalamemer, the only possibility would be Rochuv. And Rashi explains that in the case of Rochuv, there's a svara to say that he's not Kona. Why? Because in Kiddushin, which is the source for the Kinyan of Behema, it says Meshicha is Kona Behema. And the Gemara explains that what is Meshicha Behema? It's Kidei Sheteaker Yad V'Regel, that the animal moves its front feet and its back feet, meaning it relocates itself. That's what Meshicha is in Behema. That certainly is a valid kinyan. So in the case of Manning, where he leads the animal, and the animal was Oker Yad V'Regel, certainly that would be a kinyan. In the case of Rachuv, however, when he jumps onto the saddle of the animal, he's not really causing the animal to change its location, and therefore it's possible that the prerequisite to be Kona Behema might require Te'oker Yad V'Regel, like we saw in the case of Meshicha. And here in the case of Rachuv, the animal has not been Oker Yad V'Regel.
Why is that a fair comparison? I mean, if you can say with Meshicha, he's cutting it and the animal didn't move either.
So that would not be a Meshicha, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that what is Behema Nikdeis Meshicha? It must be that it's Oker Yad V'Regel.
Why don't they compare it to when he's Kona, when he's Rochev, and it was Oker Yad V'Regel?
Oh, so that's exactly what Tosfos is going to point out, that let's say you had a case of Rachuv where the animal was Oker Yad V'Regel, then that would not be a suffix. That would certainly be a valid kinyan. However, Tosfos says that in the case of Rachuv, the animal, although maybe it'll move a little bit, but it's not a significant movement. It will not really qualify as a Meshicha of Akiras Yad V'Regel. And even if the animal sort of moves when you sit on it, but that's not considered a real holacha. The animal doesn't move from spot location number one to location number two. It's only what he calls a holacha ma'at. And therefore, maybe Rachuv is not a valid kinyan, because it doesn't fit under the category of Meshicha. And as we said before, the Gemara in Kiddushin establishes Abeheima nicknames be Meshicha. And what is Meshicha? So therefore, again, if Shmuel meant to say that one of these two candidates, either Rachuv or Manhig, is kosher, is valid as a kinyan, and the other is not valid, that would not be a suffix. Rabbi Yehuda would not have to vacillate about interpreting his Rebbe's statement, because clearly Manhig would certainly be a valid kinyan as a form of Meshicha, and therefore by process of elimination it would be Rachuv, where the animal doesn't move much, if it moves at all, does not qualify as a kinyan. So we have to get back into the mindset of Rabbi Yehuda and figure out what was his confusion about Shmuel. What did he not know about Shmuel? Ella says the Gemara, just to review what we did yesterday, Rachuv b'mako manigi boile. We're talking now about adifus. Adifus means if, let's say, two people simultaneously try to acquire ownership on a behemoth hefker. Reuven jumps on the animal's saddle, and Shimon leads the animal, or hits the animal from the back and causes the animal to move in a certain direction. My, which one of the two would be kone? And Rashi points out here that the Gemara is now vacillating. This is Rabbi Yehuda's suffix in Shmuel. Which kinyan is adif? And there's a halach of adifus hakinyanim. And the Gemara says the following: Rachuv adif de hatafis be, o dilma manig adif be azil machmase. What is the adifus of Rachuv that we discussed yesterday? It's that in the case of Rachuv, he's tafus ba, he has a tfisa. Now, what exactly is the tfisa? So Tosfos claims that the tfisa is called achiza b'mosera. Now, Rashi tells us what the word mosera means in French. So since you gentlemen are experts in French, I don't know a word of French. Well, actually, I do know la plume, I think, is a pen. That's about all I know. Anyway, the Rashi says that mosera in French is called kabish tera. Kabish tera. So I don't know if you have in the back of your Gemaras, I don't know, the art school probably doesn't have it, but John, you have a classic Gemara Bava Metzia, like the old Vilna Shas. So look in the back and see if you can find something.
Right, cool. And then, what was the Rashi?
Oh, you have it on the page itself. Wow. I was going to tell you to look in the Metargim because I'm from the old fossil. I'm a fossil of the past. Yeah, so what does he say?
Afsa.
Your reins. I think it means the reins. Yeah. I don't know. The French I don't get, but that's what I think he means. So what's Tafus Bar? He's holding on to the reins. So on the one hand, it's very interesting. If you're standing on the ground next to this animal and you give a smack on the animal, right? You hit it with a stick, the animal starts moving. But ultimately, the person who's riding the animal and is holding on to the reins, he's going to control the animal. Maybe he'll go towards this direction, that direction, or maybe, you know, when the animal stops, he's able to move the animal again and start going. But Tosis points out that Mashi Yoshev Oleh, the fact that he's sitting on the animal, or even says Tosis, the fact that he's Ochza Beraglov, if let's say he wraps his legs around the animal, Eino Nikra Tofus, that's not considered Tofus. So what is Tofus, Tosis says, is Ochez Bimosera. Now, Rabosai, where do we get up to? We got up to Nechze Anan. So this is where I want to pick it up today. Omar Li Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Yosef, Omar Li Rabbi Yehuda, Nechze Anan. Now, this Nechze Anan, if you recall from the end of yesterday's Shir, and if you weren't there, you could tune in now, no problem, means let's offer a parallel, or say, shall we call it an analogy, between Kinyonim and the chiyuv for kalayim. We're talking about the iser of lotachrosh b'shar v'chamor yachdov. And when you have a shar and a chamor tied together in one yoke, and they are pulling something, and you're on the top of, and it's located on top of a field, if you cause the shar and the chamor to move, then if they have that plow, they will plow the field. And you, by causing the shor and the chamor to move forward, you now are in violation of the law of lotachrosh b'shor uvechamor. Now, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that you actually physically cause the animals to move by, let's say, smacking them or leading them from the front and so forth and so on. The other possibility is that these two animals, these two species, Ashar and Hamar, are attached to what's called a karon. Let's call it a carriage in English, for argument's sake. And now, all you have to do is sit down on the karon. That's called, in the language of the Mishnah in Kilayim, Hayoshev Bikaron. What we're going to learn now is that there's going to be a machlokas where the Yoshev Bikaron is Chayev Malkus for violation of the law of Lotachrosh Bishar V'chamor Yachtov. And it all depends upon whether sitting down on the Karon is causing the animals, in this case the Shar and the Chamor, to move forward. And that's going to be the subject of Machlokas Tanoim. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to claim that that Machlokas Tanoim is going to determine whether or not Rachuv is a valid Kinyan in a Behemas Hefker. What do I mean? We said that in order to be Kona Behema, you need Meshicha, which means Akiras Yad V'Regel. In the case of Manig, clearly Ozil Machmosai, the animal as a result of his being Manig, is moving. And that for sure would qualify as a Kinyan Meshicha in a Behema. But what about just sitting down on the animal? That's called Rachuv. Would that be a valid Kinyan? It doesn't have the element of Manhig, which is Azla Machmose, because when he sits down on the animal, on the saddle of the animal, he's not causing the animal to move. Or maybe he is causing the animal to move. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda vacillates whether or not Rachuv is a valid Kinyan. And he says it all depends upon Kilayim. If we can prove in Kilayim that Hayoshev Bikaron is Sofek Esarboim, then we can prove that Rachuv is a Kinyan. Why? Because if Yoshev Bikaron causes the animals to move, And that's no different than hitting the animals or leading the animals, screaming and so forth, all the various ways in which you get animals to move. And you violate Lo Sachros B'Shar V'Chamor such that you get Malkus of Kilayim, that it means that Yeshiva Al Gabi Karon qualifies as what's called Azla Machmasa, that the animals are moving as a result of the weight and the shake-up when he sits down on this Karon. If we apply that to the case of Behemoth Hefker, and someone jumps on the Behemoth Hefker, then that for sure would be no different than Yoshev B'Karon, and it would qualify as a Kenyan Meshicha. Meaning, what is Meshicha? We said that Manig is Meshicha because it is Azla Machmasa. Now we're going to say that Rochav is also Azla Machmasa. Or do we say no, that in Kilayim he's not Chayev for sitting on the Karon because he's not really causing the animals to move? And so forth, and so too, in the case of Rochuv in a Behemoth Hefker, he's not causing the animals to move, it's not Ozla Machmose, it would not qualify as a Meshicha, therefore he's not Kohen.
What about the opposite? What about if the animal wants to move, and you prevent it from moving?
That for sure would not be a Kenyan, and in that case, you surely, in Kilayim, you would not be Chayev for Kilayim. So again, let's talk about the simple case. The simple case of Kilayim is where you cause the Shor V'Chamor to move, and that's a violation of Lo Sachrosh. What happens? You just sit down on the Karon. So this was the last Gemara that we studied yesterday. And we came to the conclusion, based on a Mishnah in Kilayim, that this is a machlokas tanoim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir as to whether or not the Yoshev B'Karon will incur a chiv malchus. Is he considered to move as having caused the animal to move, these two animals, these two species, and therefore he would get malchus? Or no, he's just sitting on the Karon, the animals are very placid and very passive, they're not moving as a result of his sitting. And that's going to mean that he's not Chayav Malkus, and therefore the Gemara says, by analogy, would he be Chayav for... I'm sorry, would he qualify as a Kenyan of Behemoth Hefker in the case of Rochuv? If Rochuv is a kind of a manhig, it's a kind of a shicha, meaning when he sits down on the animal, it causes the animal to move, and that's a significant enough movement... And in Kilayim, for such a thing, he'd be chayav for Lo Sachrosh, then it should be a valid kinyan as a kind of Meshicha. It would be a subcategory of Meshicha, because Meshicha, as we said before, is Ka'azla Machmasa. But if on the other hand, in Kilayim, he's Patur when he's Yoshev B'Karon, because it's not considered as if he caused a significant movement of the animals... Therefore, in Kinyonim, it would not qualify as a Kinyon because it's not Meshicha. Meshicha means that you cause the animal to move forward. So, Rabbosai, last night I came across a question of the Chazon Ish, which I wanted to share with you. So, I photocopied this for you. I have here, I think, 5 photocopies, so you'll decide how you want to divvy it up or if you want to run over to the machine.
Call the
Olam Gavar. Okay. So what we have in front of us is a sefer called Otzar Mefarshei HaTalmud. When I was a youngster, we used to call this the green monster, because it's got a very dark, deep green color, and because the Rosh Yeshiva told us not to look at it. So we called it the monster. Of course, once the Rosh Yeshiva tells you not to look at it, the first thing you do is run over to the shelf in order to look at it, right? It's like the story of the Eitz Hadas. You know, you can eat from every tree except for this one. So Adam Achav is sitting there looking at that one tree. Anyway, so this Otzer Mefarshei HaTalmud is basically an anthology of Achronim. And in 9 out of 10 cases, it doesn't speak to me. I'll tell you why. Because I was trained to learn Rishonim, and because I was trained in the Brisket Derech of the Soloveitchik dynasty. And this is all based on what we call the Maram Shif, if you're familiar with. The Maram Shif is a whole different style. So I don't know if anyone here learned in a yeshiva called the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, which is located in Queens. There, Maram Shif is like, you know, second only to the Marsha. And the Marsha is second only to the Mishnah, you know what I'm saying? Marsha is probably more important than even Rashi and Tosfos, you know what I'm saying? Maybe even more important than the Gemara, I don't know. My father told me in Europe, where he was born, there was no such thing as learning Tosfos without the Marsha. And I was 5 years in the Ravshi. I heard him quote the Marsha once in 5 years, and only to slug up the Marsha. Anyway, so we have here a kasha of the Ramshif, a kasha, it's the same kasha as the Chazanish, and you'll see this on page Shin Ayin Aleph. Do you have that? Yeah. Shin Ayin Aleph? Mm-hmm. So it's the bottom of the right column on Shin Ayin Aleph. It starts with the words Nechse Anon. You have it? Rabbi Makshim, he says that the Velt asks the following question. How does the Gemara prove that Rochiv Luchudei Lo Kana from the Mishnah in Kelayim? Right? We said that the Mishnah in Kelayim, he's not Chayav for Yoshev Bekaron, and he doesn't get Malkus according to one Shita in the Mishnah. We have to see who that Shita is, whether it's the Chachamim or Rav Meir. That we're going to vacillate back and forth. And likewise, Rochiv Luchudei Lo Kana. So the Rabbi Makshim, he has a who's list here in the footnotes, and they ending with the Chazanish. And they all ask the following kasha: what proof is it from the Mishnah? We don't know exactly what the case of the Mishnah is. We know that there was someone who jumped onto the wagon, right? He was a Yoshev Bekaron. But was there possibly someone else who was manhig these two animals, right? Because the classic chiyuv for the lav of Lo Sachrosh is when someone is modding the animals. You know, he patches them, or he schleps them, whatever he does to get the animals on the move. So imagine you have two people who are simultaneously involved in this harisha. We'll call one Reuven and he jumps onto the Karon, and we'll call one Shimon and he's actually leading the animals. And the question is whether the Yoshev Bekaron is also responsible for the violation of this law. In other words, clearly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Rabbo said, this has to sink in, I'm talking to myself. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, the manig is chayav kelayim. Why? Because he's moving the animal. That's called harisha. The question is, can we add another chiyuv? Can we clamp down another chiyuv malchus onto the rochev as well? Such that if simultaneously the two of them are involved, they're both going to be chayav. What does that remind you of in Hilchos Shabbos? When two people are chayav, when they're both involved in causing some effect. Shnayim shasu, excellent. And we're going to have to talk about zei yochel, vezeina yochel, etc., etc. So just hold on to your horses here, if you pardon the pun. But this is really what I think we're going towards here. So in any event, let's just understand the technical kasha here of all these achronim. They say the following. We have no reason to object to interpreting the Mishnah in Kelayim as a duo effect here, right? There are two people who are working together in tandem. There's the Yoshev and there's the Manhik. And they're both working simultaneously to get these animals on the move. And the Mishnah is going to ask whether or not the Rochuv is Chayav. We know that the manig is chayiv, that was crystal clear. Can we at the same time impose a second chiyuv on the rochev? Because he too is participating in causing the animals to move because of the sheer tremble of the weight of his body on this karon. If that be the case, we're in deep trouble here. Why? Because our sugya bab metzia is going to try to prove from the Mishnah in Kelayim that Rochuv is not a Kenyan. What do I mean Rochuv is not a Kenyan? Remember the Gemara goes back and forth about Rabbi Yehuda, what his suffix is in Shmuel. According to one side in the Gemara, Shmuel was, Rabbi Yehuda was vacillating in Shmuel about Rochuv Lechudei. And according to the second side, it was when they both did it simultaneously. And the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah in Kelayim to prove that Rochuv Luchudei Lo Kani. How could the Gemara establish that Rochuv Luchudei Lo Kani when the Mishnah might be talking about a case where there's a Rochuv and a Manig? And then we get into the Adifus question, which Kenyan is, or which trembling or movement or causing the move of the animal is more profound. And if that be the case, it has no bearing on the question of whether Rochuv in and of itself... No, it's again, even if I hold the Rochuv is potter in the Mishnah Kelayim, it could very well be that Rochuv causes the animal to move, but it's relatively insignificant. What I mean by relative to what?
To To the Manig.
So if the Manig is also involved, then we're going to, in a sense, neutralize the impact of the Rochuv, and we're going to say that he's not Chayv Malkus because he didn't really add anything of significance. But in a case of Rochuv, where he is the only act in town, right, he's a solo, and there's no duet over here, then maybe Rochuv, since he causes the animal to move, albeit Ma'at, as we discussed before in Tosfos, that would qualify as a Kinyan. But don't use the Mishnah Kelayim to prove anything about Rochuv Lichudei. If you want to use the Mishnah Kelayim to prove that in a case where there's a Rochuv and a Manig simultaneously, then the Manig is Koda, not the Rochuv, thus Fashteya. That's valid. That's a very fine analogy to the Mishnah Kelayim. But our sugya now is going back to the original Suffolk of Rabbi Yehuda about Rochuv Lichudei. Maybe Rochuv Lichudei is a valid Kinyan, even despite the fact that the Rochuv is a Chayav Malkus in the case of Kelayim. That's because it's also a Manhig. So what I'd like you to do now, if you can, is to fast forward to the left column, which is called Shinayin Beis, and you'll see a paragraph that starts, there's only one major paragraph that starts, there's Yesha Kosvu. And here, he has a shtickle Torah from the Chassam Sofer. Now, for those of you who were with me when we learned Elu Naris, which was the previous Gilgal, right before we started this Liman in Chulin, you may remember that we were very excited about the Chassam Sofer. The man, again, it's a chutzpah nara for me to say these words, but the man was a genius amongst geniuses. I mean, he doesn't need me to say that. The only reason I say it to you is because, again, I come from a school of thought where the Chassam Sofer was quoted in 5 years only once in a tshuva drasha. Any of you went to the Rav's tshuva drashas? Yeah? So the Rav had a whole thing about something in tshuva that's called a mashahu. I don't know if you remember this, that sometimes, because the Gemara says that heichan tachas lisurin, and the Gemara says he looks into his pocket and he thinks he has change and he doesn't have change. So the Rav used the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer has this yisod called a mashahu, in the case where Yisro says to Moshe that Dov HaKosh Yavien Eilecha, right? Dov HaKosh. So the he says Dov HaGadol Yavien Eilecha. So the Chassam Sofer says, what's the difference? Moshe Rabbeinu says Dov HaKosh, and Yisro says Dov HaGadol. So the Chassam Sofer has this idea that the Goyish mentality is that, you know, we have what's called small claims court. You know, it all depends how much it is. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, if there's a Dov HaGadol, you know, a couple of $1 million at stake, then you'll have to adjudicate the case. Fine. Anyway, so then the Rav built a whole tshuva drasha around this Chassam Sofer about a mashahu. That in halacha and Jewish thought, even a mashahu is very, very significant. Din pruta ki din meir, right? In any event, getting back to our Chassam Sofer here, the Chassam Sofer says the following. He says, "Rak legabe kinyan, efshal lechalik bein rochuv b'fnei atzmo, lebein rochuv b'moko manhik." We wanted to ask Akasha, maybe there are two different cases and they shouldn't be compared. Maybe there's one scenario where there's both a rochuv and a manhik, and in that case, the rochuv's kinyan is inferior to that of the manhik. As we said before, it's not ozlo machmosei. And therefore the Rochuv is not Kona, as opposed to the case of Rochuv Lichudei. Maybe in that case Rochuv would be Kona. He says, no, that whole distinction makes sense with regard to Kinyonim. And here you could say that maybe in a case of Kinyonim, even if Rochuv per se would be a valid Kinyon, but it is overshadowed by the Manik. And that's called adifus. Avalagabi Kelayim, to say that we're going to differentiate in Kelayim, well, maybe the Mishnah in Kelayim is talking about a case where there was already a manhig, and therefore, since there's also a manhig, therefore we're going to neutralize the rochev, the yoshev b'karon. But if there was no manhig and you took the manhig out of the picture, then enochinami yoshev b'karon would be chayav. He says, "Ein lechalik." There's no difference between the addition of the Yoshe, the addition of the Manig, or his absence. There's no difference whatsoever. Why? He says, in Yoshev Levad Loke, if we would upgrade the yeshiva to the Karon as some sort of a significant, profound movement, he causes the movement to the animals, and therefore he's included under the Lavalo Tachrosh. In Cain, he says, Nechshav Osa Maisa. It's not that the animals on their own volition started moving and started plowing the field if they're dragging a plow, but rather he activated the animals. And his participation is an active maisa. It has what we call a Torah Chaloshe Maisa, and therefore he's chayav for lo takrosh. Sha'oleches k'tzas me'machmoso, because even that what seems to be insignificant movement to the animal is also significant enough for him to be chayav. If that be the case, says the Chasam Sofer, then gam b'mokol manhig yilke. There would be no difference by adding the manhig into the equation. That variable makes no difference whatsoever. Why? Shekolshu mishtatev banhagas kilayim. If the rochuv, had he been alone, would be considered an osa maisa, then despite the addition of the manik, he still remains an osa maisa, and he's still going to be chayav for kilayim. There's no difference between a case where he, the rochev, or call him the Yoshev Bekaron, is alone, and the case where the Yoshev Bekaron is together with whom? With the manik. There's no difference between the two. So when this chiddush was making the rounds, the Chasam Sofer added another point. He says, you know what? That's a great answer to this question. If you hold shnayim shasuhu zeyachol v'zeyachol shneim chayovim, this is sugi at the end of Shabbos. Where is it? Shabbos Tzadi Beis, you know, I don't know which half of Shabbos that is. I think it's already the second half, but it's not at the end of the Messiah. So there you have one Mandiyomer that says that if each and every one of the participants, had he been alone, would have accomplished his goal, then both of them will be chayav when they're simultaneously acting as a partnership, as a duo. Do you hear this? That's one Mandiyomer. So that Mandiyahomer says that Shnaim Shasu Malacha, they did a Malacha together. Let's say they were carrying something for Otsah, and each one, Reuven, could have done it himself. He didn't need Shimon. So that the Halacha validates the action and the effort of Reuven alone, in the absence of Shimon, and vice versa in the case of Shimon. In that case, if they both participate in lifting up this object and carrying it from one rishus to the other, both can be chayav, because independently they would be chayav. So he says that if you assume like that man diyomar, then the Gemara makes absolutely sense. Why? Because now the analogy to Rachuv Lechudei is a perfectly good analogy, because what would be the status of Yoshev Bekaron as far as Malkus in Lo Tachrosh? It would depend upon what would be the status of Yoshev Bekaron independent of the Manig. If independent of the Manig he would be Chayav Malkus, then even with the addition of the Manig he'd be Chayav Malkus, because then it becomes Zeyachol V'Zeyachol. And if we go with that mandiyomer that Zeyochel Zechel is chayav, it means that the Yoshev Bekaron should be chayav even in the case of a manhig. If I would assume that Yoshev Bekaron is a profound enough action to be upgraded to the status of a maisa, meaning a maisa of causing the animals to move, and therefore we can come to a conclusion that if I hold that Yoshev Bekaron is potur, he's not potur because of the addition of the manig, he's potur because Yoshev Bekaron in and of itself is not considered an action, a maisa. And if that be the case, it would not be considered a maisa as far as kinyanim is concerned. Again, there's a lot more here than what meets the eye, but I think for our purposes, that's good enough for me. Okay, now this, please hold on to that page, because on the flip side of the page you'll see Shinai and Zion. We're not ready for this yet, but hopefully in a few minutes
What is the ether? Is the fact that by causing the animal to do something, his will is prevailing over the animal.
And that's considered a maisa. That's considered a maisa of manhig. Manhig means causing the animal to move, and he violates lotah.
That's an Indian of bailus.
Now we get back to bailus. We get back to kinyon. And we're saying the following. If we consider this a profound maisa that he's really impacted on the animal, that's considered hochochas bailus. If on the other hand I hold that Yoshe B'Karin is patur in Kelayim, it means it's not a profound maisa. The Torah doesn't recognize it as a Torah's maisa, and the animal now is moving for whatever reason on its own, then he doesn't get malchus, then it would not be a profound maisa to be mochiach bailus, because hochochas bailus, we said, is in behemoth meshicha, and meshicha means that you cause the animal to move. You got it? That's what we have so far. Okay, now we want to go a little bit beyond this.
Are we defining meshicha, or are we defining ma'asa?
Well, what we're saying is that meshicha means causing the animal to move, and now in Hilchas Kinyanim, we want to know if sitting on the animal's saddle is considered that you caused it to move. If it is, then it's considered a ma'asa kinyan.
Even though you're not actually doing a ma'asa.
Well, again, what we're saying is that ma'asa is defined by the relationship between the animal and the person who's causing the animal to move. Again, as I said yesterday, that has tremendous repercussions for many different issues in halacha. When I cause an animal to move, or for that matter, a machine to move, or through electricity, is that considered my ma'asa? Okay, let's move on, because I want to see if we can fit in this this other piece over here. The Gemara says the following. There's a machlokas tanoim whether the Yoshev B'Karin is chayev malchus. Now we have a rule that yochid v'ravim halacha k'ravim. So now we're going to try to figure out who is the ravim here that would say perhaps that you do get malchus for rochuv in kelayim or you don't. And that's a very ambiguous issue. Why? Disnan. Our text in the Mishnah reads the following: Hamanhig sofeg eshar boim, v'ayoshev bekaron sofeg eshar boim. This is the view of the Chachamim, the way we have the text, that to the same extent that the manhig is chayev, the yoshev bekaron is chayev. Now it could be that both doing it simultaneously, but irrelevant. We're going now according to the Shita Shnayim Shasua chayev. They're both going to be chayev. Well, if that be the case, what would be the implication as far as Rachuv and Kinyanim? Yes or no, everybody? It would be a Kinyan? Yes, it would be a Kinyan. And who is the dissenting view? That's Rabbi Meir, a Poter Es HaYoshev B'Karon. He thinks that's not called a Maisa. He didn't really cause the animal to move, and therefore it's not a Manig, it's not a Moshech. Oh, but Mida'apich Shmuel V'Toni, Shmuel switches around the two. And according to his girsa in this Mishnah, it's Chachamim Potrim Es HaYoshev B'Karon. It is not the Chachamim who say that you're chayev for sitting on the wagon, but rather it's the Chachamim who say that you're potur. Ishma Mina. Why did Shmuel deliberately change the names here? Because he wanted to accept the halacha that Yoshev B'Karin does not constitute a maisa, and therefore he wanted to identify that shita of the Chachom as maintaining that Yoshev B'Karin is potter from Kelayim. He's not considered a maisa of getting the animals to move. Yishmami, no, if it's not considered a maisa, according to the Chachamim, we're going to pass him like the Chachamim, is Rachiv Luchudei Lokani. The Kolshke, the Gemara adds as a postscript, Rachiv Imakomanik. If Rachiv itself is not a Kenyan, how much more so if simultaneously with this, the Rachiv, there's also a person who is Manik. Okay. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Dibra maskil ela rochuv b'moko manhig, and this is about 15 lines down from the top of Ches Amud Beis. We read this yesterday, but I want to read it with a fresh start today. Rashi says, ela rochuv b'moko manhig shneim boim lefanenu ze rochuv v'ze manhig. Ze Omer Kula Shali, V'zeh omer kula shali. So we have a rochuv and a manig, each one claiming that he made the kinyan. Amar Shmuel, and on this very same case, Shmuel said chad koni. He didn't identify which of the two. Umiboyle le Rabbi Yehuda, hecha de isnu le chavayu. They're both here in front of us. One is sitting on top of the saddle. The other is carrying the animal, leading it through the streets. You know, you have, pardon the expression, Haman and Mordechai over here. Is high adif. Which is the adifus? Rachuv adif the hatafis bay. Rachuv has the additional element and therefore a superior kinyan in the fact that he is tafuspa. V'chi amrinan meshicha kani. When do we say that meshicha is kona? Hecha deleka rachuv. So on the one hand, it's very interesting. There's a manhig who's leading the animal. We never had a doubt, if you recall. We never doubted the premise that manig is meshicha because it's azla machmase. But now we're going to have doubts about this manig. Maybe he's not a meshicha. Why? Meshicha is only kona when there's no rachuv. But in the case where there's a rachuv, meshicha can't be kona. Why? Because the rachuv has the additional dimension or superior element of tafuspe, that he's considered tafus. So what I'd like you to take a look at over here.
And so according to Chachamim, there's no question that he's kona by his rechiva, but it takes away the kinyan of the manu.
Correct. At this point, the Gemara thinks.
Nobody gets it.
The Gemara goes through two stages. We're up to the stage where Rachuv b'makom manhig is the whole suffix, meaning that we're assuming that Rachuv alone would be a kinyan, but what's the deal when there's a Rachuv and a manhig? And is one side to say that Rachuv is superior to manhig, and what's the adifus of the kinyan of Rachuv in the fact that he's tofuspe? And as a result, we're going to have to limit the original scope of kinyan meshicha, that the kinyan meshicha is conditional on the fact that there's no one over here who's riding the animal. If there's somebody riding the animal, b'makom Rachuv, since he has the additional dimension of what? Of Tafus Bay, therefore the Manig who's a Moshech is not Kona.
So that's only good then if we hold that Rachuv is also a form of Meshicha.
Correct. Well, yeah, because we're holding now that Rachuv Luchude Koni. Now, Behema Niknes B'Meshicha, which means that by causing the animal to move, you are Kona the animal. And now we're saying that Rachuv is also causing the animal to move. And the Gemara is going to make that dependent upon the Machlokas Tanoim in Kilayim. And now what we're adding is not only is Rachuv an act, a Maisa, that the Torah recognizes as causing the animal to move, there may be a superior element above and beyond your classic Meshicha, your classic Hanhaga, in the fact that he's tofus.
The Alicha of the animal is absolutely necessary.
Right, that's what we're saying, that it's got to be Ozla Machmose, and whether or not it is Ozla Machmose, in the case of Rachuv, that's going to be Machlokas Tanoim and Kilayim. So 1 minute. Let's see where Tfisa is going to
work. Help in terms of
let's see where Tfisa is going to work. So for this, if you have a page on the flip side, I hope I photocopied it properly, it should say Shin Ayin Zayin. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Shin Ayin Zayin. And here he has a quote from the Ketzos HaChoshen. So at least I feel a little bit more comfortable. You know,
it's a rough quote, isn't it, every now and then?
Yeah, every now and then. Usually, again, to disagree with the Ketzos, but he quoted the Ketzos. Right. So it says the following. B'perush ha-safek. Rashi gives us a clue as to what is the nature of the safek of the Gemara in Rachuv b'makom manhi. And he says the following. Again, we're going with one mahalach. There's another mahalach which maybe we will get to, maybe we won't get to. We'll see about it. And his mahalach is the following. The suffix is not about kinyan. In other words, both Rachuv and Manig are valid kinyanim. And if they're valid kinyanim, then why should I give a plus to one kinyan over the other? All we need to know is that the Torah recognizes this as a kinyan, or the Rabbanan recognizes it as a kinyan. Right, we're not going to make lechatchilas and b'dievids. We're going to ask one question, one question only. Is this a valid kinyan or is it not? We're now holding that Rachav is a valid kinyan, because the Gemara is saying Rachav lechubei kani. The only issue is Rachav b'makomani. So the Ketzos says that Rashi is giving us a clue that the suffix in the Gemara of Rachav b'makomani is not as far as kinyanim is concerned, as if to say we have a din of adifus, or he calls it bitul. Bitul means that one kinyan, insofar as it's superior, it negates or cancels the other kinyan and neutralizes. Ki Rashi sover ein kinyan mevatel kinyan. There's no such thing as one kinyan canceling out another kinyan. I'm sorry? I am in a paragraph that starts with the word Rashi and about six lines down. You have it? Sharishitas Rashi, Hishagam Bishneim Rochvim, Tzorech Kol Echad Ledina Magbia Metzil Chavero. So Rashi holds that in the case of two people who are doing the same identical kinyan, they work in cahoots, and it's not that one kinyan neutralizes or cancels the other. We can have two people, each simultaneously, each implementing a maisa kinyan. If that maisa kinyan is valid, then if they work in cahoots, one on behalf of the other, then they'll both be konan. V'im nomar b'rochov u'manhig she'echad mehem eino kona b'meila lo yikne gam asheni. If both of them implemented this, each one his kinyan simultaneously, then if you're going to tell me that one kinyan is not valid because it's batel, then neither kinyan would be chal. Do you remember this? This was the sugya of Cheresh and Pikeach, that if the pikeach is not kona, then mevel lecherish is not kona, because they have to achieve and implement the kinyanim together. Al kein mefarish Rashi shebishneim shaasu kinyan bevasach hazerachiva vezan hagashneim kanu. They both have a valid kinyan. So then, what is the Gemara vacillating about? Ubayas haGemara he legabi muchzah. We're not dealing with an issue of which kinyan is mevatel the other kinyan, or which kinyan is superior to the other kinyan. But rather we have to know who made the kinyan. Each one is claiming kulishali, which means that each one is claiming, I implemented this kinyan, and this shlub, this no good thief, came along and he wants to claim it for himself. Bayas haGemara hi legabi muchzak. And I believe that the Tosas is saying this in Rashi, but not in Tosas, because if you take a look at Tosas, at the beginning of the third Tosas down for the page, he says, Ein lefarish the tofes baraglov. We'll get back to that in a minute. Ubayas haGemara hi legabi muchzak she'echad toin kulishali. Right, each one is claiming kulishali. So the first one who claims kulishali says, I got to the kinyan first. Let's say I jumped on the saddle first. The second one is claiming, I got there first and I did a hanhaga. So we're seeing in front of us one person on top of the animal, he's the rochuv, one person on the ground who's leading the animal, he's the manhig, and each one is claiming, I got there first. Higdapti l'knosa. Umistapkim anu. And now we have a suffix. Who is the motzi and who is the muchzak?
So then it's like Shnei Motzi Mitalis.
Exactly. Is mistapkim anu chazok cheskosel shel miadifa? Which of the two have a real muchzakus? Shel arochev shetofus ba? And again, I don't know what Rashi would say about tofus ba. Does it mean he's holding on to the reins and that makes him tofus? Does it mean he's got his legs wrapped around the animal, he's controlling the animal? Or should we say that the manig has a superior status as a muchzak because the animal is being schlepped along by the manig? So on both sides, we have a whole new perspective on this sugya and what the Gemara is vacillating about based on the Ketzos' understanding of Rashi, because Rashi at the end says that the reason why Rochav should be kone is the tafuz bay. And the Ketzos identifies Tafus Bey as Hilchas Muchzakus. Like, for example, we had the question of the Kohen and the Safik Bechar, who's toughest in the Bechar? If the Yisrael is toughest in the Bechar, then Olav al HaKohen lahavi raya lahotzi midei tfisa. If on the other hand the Kohen grabs onto the Bechar, and again if it's maybe a case of Shasak Musof Tzavach, then he creates a Mukzakus on the Bechar, and therefore now the Yisrael becomes a Motzi Mechavel of a raya. And back and forth and back and forth. The Gemara says that in the case of talis, we're going to say that each one is tafus on the talis, and as a result, we're going to say yachloku. But in this case of rochuv and manig, the question is who is considered the tafus. Okay, Rabosai, that's what we're going to do for today in Bav Metzia and Emetz Hashem. Now we'll learn a sugya nechulin. So I have here a photocopy for you. Floating around somewhere. Oh, here it is. So if you don't mind just passing this around, we'll